Hello. So I'm here to talk about the language metadata table. And here we go. So I work for Warner Media. I work on metadata, taxonomy, strategy, and governance. And that's our new logo, if you can recognize it. Okay, and I wanted to mention that we have all these different language metadata committee members and contributors, and they're from lots of different organizations, and you may recognize all these different logos out there, and it's really been a fascinating experience to running a standards, a working standards group, and see all these people like really come together and want to contribute, and we're making something cool, and I'm going to talk about it. So what we know is that there are lots of languages out there, and people need it for different kinds of things, for their content, for packaging, you name it, it's out there. But there really hasn't been a single unified standard of language codes, and that has equaled to the Tower of Babel. So while the focus has been on the broadcast and media and entertainment industries, the fact is that this is really a bigger problem across the world. So here's how this all began, is that when I was started at HBO, I'm going to these meetings and people are talking about it, what are we going to call Latin American Spanish? And then there is an engineer sitting in the corner with his laptop and he goes, well, in this system it's LAS, and in this system it's LATAM SPAN, and this system it's SPA-LA, and in this system it's SPA, and it's like, and I'm like, whoa, I'm working on metadata standards, trying to make sure everything's like cool across the organization. And I said, well, let's fix this. So I thought it'd be like a 3-4 month project. And like 14, 16 months later, we ended up with a table of 128 languages. At 2018, if you saw Guy's presentation earlier today, if he went to the next Smart Content Summit in New York, LMT would have been on there. So we presented it, and people thought it was cool, and they said, let's make it an industry standard. We formed a working group, and now and Mesa has been a fabulous sponsor, making sure that this all goes. Guy and Mary have been just terrific, and lots of other people to make sure our documents get posted and meetings happen and go-to meeting works and everything. And now here we are a couple years later, and now we've published, it's actually 3.1 has just been published, and we have over 200 languages, and there's more coming. I just include this slide. A couple years ago, I went to a conference, and I flew to London because we were nominated for the best taxonomy practice of the year at London Taxonomy Bootcamp. Yes, there is a taxonomy bootcamp for those who did not know. It's one of my favorite places to go to. And like I saw all these languages down there on the bottom, and I was like, well, what the heck is PO? And then I'm like, I know this stuff, and it's not an ISO code, it's not this. And so I started leafing through the screen. So this is just indicative of something that touches our industry for anybody that's delivering to airline content, that at least a couple years ago, it certainly wasn't great. I did notice on the flight out that it is better on it, and I think it was a different airline. And I also know the airline passenger experience group is heavily discussing the language metadata table. It solves a lot of their problems in general as well. So our scope has really been to make sure that we focus on languages only. People are saying, well, this is cool, what are you going to do next? But let's get languages nailed down. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm not the International Standards Organization. Neither, you know, the working group is not, when I say I, it's really a very much a team effort. We include the notation of, you know, script writing and everything in there, and so that the table has everything we believe that is gonna be needed. Codes for your databases and for your systems, and then display values. This way you can put it on a package. We have the endonyms, which are what the language is in the native country, and including the spelling and the alphabet, and as well as the exonyms. So this way, again, it can be used internationally. One of the things that I think we really need to keep in mind is a lot of the standards that are out there, they have one field for language. And the more work I do at a strategy level across WarnerMedia Enterprise and also in jobs I've held before, is you really need more languages. You need to know what your audio language is. In our world, we need to know what the closed caption language is. We need the subtitle language. We need to know whether there is sign language available in there. Rights, and you know, for those that are writing the contracts, should we stick to it? Are they going to use a geographic area? And again, the accessibility piece is coming certainly more and more from a, you know, what's going to be needed contractually. Here's our mission statement. I'm not going to read it to you, and it's basically everything that I'm saying. We want a standardized table of codes that anybody can take and just, you know, stick out there and use as they see fit. And again, it's available to anybody, and there's no restrictions. Working committee made it, it's yours. The advantages to adopting is this way, then we do have these standardized codes. And even if you want to use something a little bit different in your company, or you're not going to adopt LMT, because we all know that there's cost in development, you can go ahead and at least you have a target. If this comes in, here's what it is in your system. Having a working group, this way, that's really wonderful because you saw those logos. If folks from all those different companies or a good chunk of them agree, we're probably in the right space and we can get, and we have agreement, then you don't have to spend time, labor, energy, resources trying to figure it out in your own company. It's already been solved and it's been vetted by, you know, an industry working group. Different kinds of use cases. We also know, I certainly see it in my organization, while there has been a lot, and again, other companies, other jobs that I've had in the past, everything's becoming much more international. So you need to need to have codes for all your different international purposes, non-English content. We're buying content from other countries and or licensing whatever it is, and again, the accessibility requirements. And if we're going to go towards more of the personalization, then you want to see what languages are people searching in and can they search consistently. So it's another good, really useful piece of metadata out there. So I don't like to reinvent the wheel. I like to go and say, does this exist someplace? Is there a standard out there that we can use already? So we picked IETF BCP 47, the Internet Engineering Task Force, the best current practice, number 47. It uses other standards, which is ISO, the International Standards Organization. And for the regions, for geographic locations, if we can't find it in the ISO country code standard, we use the UN codes. And that, for example, when I mentioned Spanish, ES-419 equals Latin American Spanish, which is the HBO default Spanish language. So this way, then, you don't have to... No more LATAM span, SPA-LA, et cetera, ES-419. People have been trained, and they do learn. So again, it's consistent, and people can use it across all these different areas. It also can help a lot with electronic sell-through and digital distribution, again, by having all these consistent codes. What does it look like? Here's an example here with the syntax. And again, this is out of the IETF BCP 47 documents, which you can find online. It is possible to have over 40,000 combinations if you follow IETF BCP 47. And that's one of the things that pushed me to say, we need a standardized table. And now we have 200, so there's 200 codes, or less than 200 codes, between the audio and the... between the audio and the visual languages or the written languages. And this is what it looks like. So we have on there, we have our column headers, and that those are the different examples that I've chosen to include. And then down on the left-hand side in the first column, these are all the different fields that we populate. The full table is available from the MESA website. And so some of the groups that we've been working with include EIDR, which I think is the Entertainment ID Registry. They've been extremely supportive. Also, we have tapped folks there, and they've done research for us. How many different times was this language used in the content that they have or with the registrations available? The ISDCF, the Inter-Society of Digital Cinema Forum that's distributing theatricals, they also need language codes as... there, and we also use validators, which are also set up. So again, we're adhering to industry standards, but the working group is doing the heavy lifting up front. The really exciting thing that's been going on since late last year is we now have new partners. So SMPTE, the Society for Motion Pictures Television Engineers, is going to become the new home of the language metadata table. So we're going through the SMPTE process to make sure it can be adopted. Some people have asked me about the SMPTE firewall. Do you have to be a SMPTE member to get access to the LMT? And the answer is no. So LMT is going to be available to everybody, and hopefully this is the beginning of some other really cool partnerships for others as well, where we can keep on building standards of standards and be sharing, because it's just going to make everybody's life easier, especially if there's working groups willing to do the heavy lifting. But it's not just me doing heavy lifting, it's a lot of people. So SMPTE will help us with the infrastructure, with the resources for the hosting. So in this case, it was just a couple of us doing this at HBO and Warner Media. And now I've got all this, these wonderful partners that are helping to set up on the technical end, and it's just great. There are going to be validation tools and adoption and the documentation. We already have some of this out there, but to formalize it and have something that's better for the developers is only positive. And as I mentioned, EIDR, ISDCF, and also Movie Labs is also another partner. So anybody that's dealing with the distribution space, then you're involved with Movie Labs. So again, now if you have a single source for your language codes, it's positive for everybody. So moving forward, we're going to end up with this common language code registers. And again, we already have information that's available online now. We're going to harmonize differences where they occur, at least, and have at least guidelines for recommendations on how the different folks can work, and good documentation to go with it. And I've mentioned our partners, and for our timeline, we've been working towards. So mid-March is going to be the. I actually have it posted already on the Mesa website. Tell everybody. I'm not perfect. Mistakes were made. We cleaned it up, reposted it. It went up on Monday, I believe, and I will be sending out an email when Mesa is going to distribute it. So Mesa is going to continue to be the information arm and help set up the working group meetings and all that. SMPTE is going to be the technical from that whole distribution and validation piece of it. And then the other industry standards, including Movie Labs and ISDCF and EIDR, will continue to help us vet to make sure we're not going to break anything in anybody's process. So it's actually quite cool. If you need to know who the people are who are participating in the standard, come see me. I also have business cards that say LMT, and they weigh so much in my suitcase, but I'm happy to share. Here's contact information, and again, available on the mesa.alliance.org website under the working communities. There's language metadata table. If you click on that and scroll down, all this information is there as well. In addition, on the fourth bullet, so Bruce Devlin, who's the VP of Standards at SMPTE, is my partner on this to make all the technical stuff happen, and he has a demo of what we think it's going to look like, from that whole validation standpoint. There's a lot of documentation down there already, including different presentations. We'll make sure that this one's available. Ultimately, our deliverables are going to end up being, we'll have Excels because it's easy to read and scan through. PDFs don't really work so well, but there's going to be XML for the developers, schema, documentation, policy documents, et cetera, et cetera. So, and the other thing we're going to be working on are distribution lists, because there are those that are content providers, and we're the ones, like Warner Media, we need to know what we need to include to distribute out, and then there are those people who are going to receive it who may not influence the standard, because they just say, you take what you're given, because now you have to take it on to the next level. So I think we're going to end up on some different kinds of who needs to know versus who's going to contribute. And I'm exactly at time, but I think if anybody has a question, or come see me later.
Yeah, LMT at MesaAlliance.org, right? That's the way to contact you. Thank you so much, Yona.
Look, my pleasure.
In our meeting yesterday, we had a talk about also standards work and how our business moves forward. And we're kind of looking at the LMT as a model, as a way forward of let's take a small building block and get it right without trying to boil the ocean. So the work that you've done in a volunteer capacity has been amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and if my panelists didn't moderate, it will come
up. I'll stay up.
Yeah, that's right.